All right. Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, we'll pretend like there's 50 million people listening. Because my only job, task, mission, purpose is to share the word of the Lord. And so everyone should hear what the Lord would say to us. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I like to read the word. In the Old Testament, it's written 99% in Hebrew. And the word of the Lord is spoken to a self-righteous nation. A self-righteous nation. And it's good news. It's good news. Why would God speak good news to a self-righteous nation? I'll tell you why. Because, huh?
They're sinners.
Yes, they're sinning. But he has good news for them.
Amen.
He has good news for them. Which, when people sing the Messiah at this time of year, they always sing this portion, Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people. Thus saith the Lord. In other words, the Lord is saying, my people, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. The Lord says that. And they're self-righteous. They're in Babylon. Well, they're about to be in Babylon because Nebuchadnezzar is threatening them, and they're there for their sin. Their sins. They've never confessed their sins to God and called on his mercy. So why would God have good news for people that not only are sinning, but they're self-righteous to boot? Oh my gosh. You know, because in the New Testament, Jesus said, you know, a lukewarm church, I would just spew them out of my mouth because they don't want to hear. But yet, he's got this word, comfort ye my people. Nachamnu. Why does he repeat that twice like that? Comfort yourselves, middle voice. Comfort yourselves, my people. Comfort yourself. Don't worry about your sin. See, he just spent the whole 39 chapters telling them how wicked they were. You know, he just warning them, you know, if you don't surrender, you're going to be like your sister, the 10 tribes that went into Assyria. The Assyrians took them, and they're not going to be in their land again there. So that's amazing. And you'd think Judah would learn a lesson. Judah and Benjamin, those two tribes. There are 12 tribes, Judah. 12 tribes of Israel. And two of them stayed there in the south. They're the southerners. And then 10 of them are Yankees. They're going north and suffering. You know how the Yankees are, and so they're suffering because they didn't follow God's pattern. They didn't believe him, and so they're under a threat from Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to come and get you, and he means it. He's angry at Judah and Jerusalem, and he's going to surround them and conquer them. So God is giving them a warning. Pay attention. Pay attention. You're self-righteous. And so You think you're fine because you have the name of Christian, or you have the name of Jewish, or you have the name of God. And so God's word to him is, after he's been railing at him for 39 chapters, all of a sudden he changes his tone and he says, comfort yourselves. Tell this to Israel. Tell this to Judah, the southern tribe, and Benjamin. Tell this to them. Tell them that not only comfort yourself, based on what?
No.
What is he basing it on? Yes, that's true. But what is he basing?
The coming Christ.
Yeah, a promise.
Amen.
That he made to Abraham long, long time before. Because this is about 600 B.C., 600 years, and about 700 years prior to that, probably maybe more. Actually, probably almost 1,000 years before that, Moses and so on and so forth. He'd made this promise to Abraham. Actually, oh my gosh, it's even more than that. It's more than that. So this is a long time, because 2,000 years before, and now 6. So, 1,400 years. It's amazing. God doesn't have a loss of memory. He remembers his covenant with Abraham, and even though Israel is doing everything you can possibly do to offend God, he says these words, comfort ye, my people, comfort yourself. Comfort yourself, my people. Okay, that's a powerful thing. That God never forgets his promise, and even though you sin against him, even though you're self-righteous about it, he still loves you. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's like us. We forgive people that have sinned against us.
Amen.
We're that way. Even though people have messed up, we always forgive them. We always show them mercy. Mercy, grace. I can't be mad at you. Even though you're mad at me and you're sinning galore, I told you not to do that. But so, even though we sin, It seems like it's wrong on God to say, I'll punish you, and then 39 chapters of threat. All of a sudden he said, well, by the way, it's Christmas time coming up. So I'm gonna say something. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear what the Lord would say. Hear the word of the Lord. Comfort yourselves. Nahamu. And then he says, my people. My people is not the goyim, us, but it's the Am. Okay? So that's the word in the Hebrew. Comfort yourselves, Am.
What's Am?
Hmm?
What
does
Am
mean? My people.
Am.
Okay? So the Am is the Jewish people that are believing in God, but they don't. They don't. And he said, you know, he started out this book with, you're sick from the head to the foot. You know, you're just, the whole thing is sick. In other words, your priests, your kings, your everything, you're doing wrong. You're doing wrong. Why doesn't God get us for our sins and our self-righteousness, which is the most egregious sin of all, is that you have sinned, but you don't, you're defending yourself. You're continuing. Even though you know you did wrong, you're continuing to be arrogant and proud and follow after the Baals and, you know, false religion. And don't you realize you're in trouble right now because of your sins? And they, you know, that's why they're in trouble. But yet God says, comfort yourself. I think our gospel is too good to be true.
Amen.
This could, I like this message, but that you can comfort yourself. Say, you know, even though I've done wrong, even though I've been self-righteous, even though I've looked down on and despised the Northerners, the Yankees, I don't have any leg to stand on. How many know the South is as messed up as the North? The South is messed up too. It's like, you know, just because you're here doesn't give you a right to vaunt yourself over others. But anyway, God says, well, I know, but I like my Southerners. So comfort yourself. Comfort yourself. You realize we lost the Civil War. And so the Confederate flag is no longer flying over Texas. But my point is that God doesn't want anyone to forget his promise to Abraham 1,400 years prior. Like, wow, this God is awesome. He remembers his promise forever and ever. In other words, he thinks things through. When he makes a promise to someone, he thinks about the next, you know, 5,000 years or whatever. And he said, yeah, I'll keep this promise. I'm going to keep this promise. I'm going to swear an oath. And who am I swearing it to? Myself. I'm swearing it to myself. I'm not going to change my mind on this. So I said to Israel, you will inherit the land. I remember I promised Abraham, I cannot forget what I said to Abraham. And Isaac, I repeated it to Isaac. And as Peggy pointed out in the car this morning, what did Isaac accomplish? You know, other than the kid that God gave him, what did he do? He had two boys. You remember? Remember his two boys? Esau. And then he had another one, Jacob and Esau. That's about it. The guy, what did he do? I mean, you know, he didn't get a covenant like Abraham did, but he just kind of repeated it and kept it going. So it's amazing. Our God is funny. He's strange. When he says he loves you, he can't change his mind. When he says, I'll forgive sinners, no matter how you sin, whatever kind of sin you have, self-righteousness or just open, you know, defiance, he doesn't care. He says, no, comfort yourselves. Comfort yourselves. And then it goes on. Comfort yourselves, my people, says your God, Eloheinu, come, says your God. So, Elohim. Speak tenderly, Dabaru. Dabaru. Dabar is the word for word. And so, say these words to her. Say these words to her. Speak tenderly to the heart, al lev. Lev is heart in Hebrew. Speak tenderly to her. Touch her heart with this comfort thing. Touch her heart. And tell her that her warfare is ended. Her warfare is ended. It's amazing. And that her iniquity is pardoned. That her iniquity is sin. Tell her that her warfare has ended. Now, her warfare, not mine. I'm not at war with Israel. She's at war with me. Israel is at war with me. Comfort yourselves. I'm not counting it. I'm not going to count that. The fact that you hate me, the fact that you sin against me, the fact that you don't worship me with all your heart and soul and strength, and you don't love your neighbor as yourself. How many can see a little bit of you in Israel's stubbornness? That even though you've been given all this good news, you haven't really shown God, who made us and who owns us and purchases us, and shed his blood and so on and so forth, you haven't realized that God is not mad at you. He's never been mad and he never will be mad. He ever can't be mad at you because you're his beloved. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I don't know if any one of you personally get a hold of this. This is good news. That it isn't just that God forgives us. It's that he can't help himself. He can't not love us. He can't. Amen. He can't not. Double negative. He can't not love us. And so it's like Christmas. The little kid has been naughty all week, and you told him if you're naughty or nice, you know, Santa Claus can't come to town. And but even so, there's presents under the tree, free. You just don't even pay for them. Even though you did everything wrong, even though you didn't behave perfectly, you didn't behave yourself, it doesn't matter. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him, I do. And the reason I do is because of this comfort thing, this idea that even though you sin against God and then keep sinning and then don't even appreciate all that he did, and then you kill his boy and so on, it doesn't matter to God. I don't care what you've done, what you've thought, what promises you broke to God. God, I'm going to change. This next year, I think I'm going to be more faithful than I've ever been before. God doesn't even listen to your promises because he doesn't trust you. But he said, tell them that their warfare is over. Their warfare toward me, their anger toward me, their unforgiveness, their lack of mercy toward me. Tell them it doesn't matter. Comfort yourselves. Comfort yourselves. Your warfare is over. In other words, yours toward me. I'm not mad at you. I never have been. I never will be. I love you. And not only will I forgive you, I'll actually help you to be holy. And not only that, and then I'm going to marry you. I haven't changed my mind on that. Even though you're dating others and messing around and fooling around, it's doing exactly what I said not to do, I will not change. I don't think any other pastor this morning is sharing this scripture and this message. I don't think so. I like to listen to other people, but I don't think they've got the good news. It's gooder than what people think. It's not only that Jesus died for us, and it's not only that God sent his own son, and we killed him. He didn't just die, we killed him. Did you know your sins killed Jesus?
That's true.
Your sins. And the fact that you you show your appreciation by then not behaving. You're just selfish still. All you're thinking about is yourself. And then God says, okay, here, tell them this. Comfort yourselves. Nachamu. Nachamu. You know, just tell them, I'm not mad at my people. You're Jewish. I mean, if you're Jewish, the Jewish people haven't heard this message to this day. That even though they're self-righteous, even though they killed Jesus, even though they didn't obey the Ten Commandments, even though they did nothing, they're very self-righteous. They feel they're fine. They don't want Jesus. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear this good news. And even though they're not listening, he says, comfort yourselves. And I think that's neat that we've remembered 1,400 years before this moment in time when they're about to be swallowed up, exiled under Babylon, and then Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome, and then Holy Rome, and then the New World Order, which is right now. We're living in this New World Order thing that President Johnson and, you know, all kinds of presidents, FDR, and all of them, they've all taught about a New World Order. And what they mean is, you'll be a slave. You'll be suffering for your sins. But to us, he says, comfort yourselves, comfort yourselves. Even though you're mad at me, and even though you haven't done anything I said ever, and even though everything I did for you, you spit on, you despised, you trampled your own, you muddied your own waters. So I'm going to have to drink this afterward, but I think I'll splash in my own waters. Did you ever see a little kid looking at a puddle and they're all dressed up for church in their suit and white shirt and so on? And then you say, now don't step in any of the puddles. And then the next thing you know, they're just doing it. You ever seen that, little kids? And they're splashing it all over and kicking it at somebody. And there's little kids that, I don't know, they have a little Dickens in them. They just like that. I don't know why. But even so, do you know that you're loved, Roxy? No matter what. Even you sometimes have not nice thoughts. You know, it's sometimes selfish. And whether he deserves it or not, you're not always appreciative of the gift of God that Hugo is. Hugo, even if you remind her, she might forget anyway.
Every day.
Glory. So, comfort yourselves. Nachamu. Nachamu. Twice God says it. If you say something twice in the Bible, that's a confirmation. I mean, that's fixed. When you say it twice like that, that God's serious about it. Comfort yourselves, comfort yourselves, my people. Thus saith the Lord. And then he says, tell her these words. Her warfare is over. Her enmity toward me is finished. I'm paying for it. I've never been angry, and I'm not angry now that she's angry at me. Even though I've created her, redeemed her, blessed her, warned her, taught her, and you've not paid attention to anything I've said. I don't think this is what churches are teaching people. And I don't blame them, because you'll get a bunch of rebels this way if they think that God loves you even if you do wrong. Break all his commandments, kill his boy, despise him, continue to be selfish, continue to just not cooperate. Amen? Think of everyone sitting in this second row. They're not here. And the first row. And that side right there, that fourth row. And think of all the people that are missing out on the Word of God. Here, I'm sharing the Word of God to people. And I know I love this message. I don't know if anybody else loves it. I love this message. I'm eating it up. It's like, God, how can you love me and I'm not that awesome? I was telling Peggy in the car, I'm a nothing. I don't accomplish anything. But I think of myself as a man of God. I think of myself as a good Christian pastor, and I can't imagine why the whole world isn't listening. But actually, I'm a nothing. So I'm a zero. And someday I just keel over and die, and that's it. But I actually sincerely am what a pastor is supposed to be. And yet, not everybody notices that. Even the people who come don't always come. So they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. I love it. I love it. So it's funny. But I tell you, I go for this thing that even the self-righteous Jewish people who persist to this day to keep Torah, of course they never keep it, but they always remind one another, are you keeping Torah? Are you trying your best? Are you putting on your best effort? You know, and so that they say it one another, and nobody ever answers yes. No Jewish person ever answers the other person and say, yes, I've done everything right. And they know they've not done everything right. And they have guilt over, you know, some things, but it doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't go anywhere. They just answer like this. Well, you know, I'm trying my best. Hey, you know, everybody sins. You know, the world is, you know, not a bowl of cherries or whatever. That's the way it is. And so that's how the way they talk. That's why they're humorous, because they know they have not kept the law. And they were the first ones. They were the first ones that God made a covenant with, and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on, and then Moses, and so on. And they said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. And they never did it. They never did one lick. Nothing. And Christians then were the improvement, right? Right? We were the correction. And we're the same. And not only that, we now despise them because they didn't keep the law like they said they were going to. And we look down on them, you know, as, hey, you guys are not getting in because we're getting in by faith. You're getting in by works, but you can't get in. And so why don't you listen to us? So they don't. They don't pay attention. Just give us your money. Just, you know, help us out politically because we're in the Bible. But God will never change his mind about Israel. He likes them. He likes them. He not only likes them, he loves them. He's never been at war with them. He has a controversy with them. Hey, why don't you at least admit you're wicked? And she won't. Israel will not say that. And even on Kol Nidra, that's a big festival they have a few months back. And then they confess their sins once a year. Big confession, you know. But they don't change. They still don't like us, the good people. What a nice people we are. I don't know how could anybody be mad at us? How could anyone not be impressed with us? Well, maybe they're looking. Maybe they're checking us out. So is God mad at them? No. Is he mad at you? No. Is he mad at anybody? No. Pagans, Jews, Christians, Muslims, witchcraft people, Satanists, he doesn't mad at anybody. Isn't God silly? What's he give his law for? Why does he give a law and then not notice that people are breaking it? Well, no, he notices it. He notices that we have a warfare with God. We don't want to submit to God's purposes, plans, even his good news. Isn't that amazing? How many of you realize you're not that disciplined? How many are aware, even though you're more disciplined than somebody else, you're really not that disciplined?
Right.
And I'm not. I'm not. I can readily admit, golly, God, I can't believe you still like me. I can't believe you want to bless me today. You should kind of like punish me a little bit or something. I deserve it. But he won't give me what I deserve. He won't be just with me. He redefines the word justice to mean mercy for Jim. I like it. It's like once he makes you, he likes you. Even if you're existing, and no matter how you exist, and no matter how you despise others and think you're better and think you're smarter, and it doesn't bother him. Because he has no warfare with mankind. mankind has a warfare with God. I don't want to do what you say exactly. I don't want to submit to you. I don't want to give up my life. I want to rule my own life. I don't want you to rule. How many know that God, after 6,000 years of human history, is still not mad? And he never will be. Never. For all eternity. He's never been mad at any sinner. Never. I know what he says in the Bible, but obviously he says stuff and then he doesn't act on his law. The day you eat of it, you will die. Remember that one? And then, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and neighbor as yourself. Well, nobody's ever doing it. But he never forgets. Why? Because he made a covenant with Abraham. 1,400 years, no, 2,000 years before Jesus came and 1,400 years before this scripture. Isaiah 40. I don't know. Do you know how strong a covenant is with us to God? It's not. We never keep our promises. I don't know. There's a group in Dallas, the Promise Keepers. They're accountable to one another. They're like the Jews. Hey, if I don't come to prayer group or Bible study or whatever, hey, you rebuke me. I'd appreciate you that. And so some of the minute. In fact, there's a big church here in Dallas, the biggest church in the city. It's big, huge, bigger than First Baptist. And the pastor actually rebukes people in that church if they don't behave. And a lot of people go there. But you can't keep a promise. Even the pastor, I'm sure, doesn't keep his promises. And yet he rebukes people and makes them stand up and rebukes them in front of everybody. I think I'll start. I'm going to do that this morning. Willis. Yeah. I just picked one out. I just, you know, random.
The ones in the front row.
Yeah. Yeah, these people here, they don't even show up because, and I would have to get them. No, because I can't, because I've messed up myself. So I can't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. If God can forgive me, I can forgive others. We love because he first loved us. So can't you forgive everybody in your life that has hurt you, disappointed you, spoken against you, acted in a way that bothered you? Can you forgive them and love them fully anyway? Amazing. It's amazing. I like this scripture. Comfort ye, my people. Thus saith the Lord. This is what I'm saying. What? Tell her that her warfare is over, that her iniquities, her sins, in the heart, in the soul, in the body, I've forgiven all those. Tell her that her iniquities are pardoned. I've given a general pardon for all wicked people, for all sinners, whether they're open about it or secret about it, self-righteous about it, I don't care. I don't care. I'm sending my son to tell the whole world some good news. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, to the heart, Lev in Hebrew. Speak tenderly. In other words, don't say it in a harsh way. Just say it. You're forgiven. Your warfare is over. Don't worry about it. I took care of it. I paid the price you owed me. I paid it. You owed me. I paid that. I paid it. Well, Jesus hadn't come. This is 600 years before Jesus. And he's saying it as though it's already done. 600 years before it's done. Just like now, you're already married to God because he chose you. And he doesn't choose lightly. He chose carefully. Let me find someone who's wicked. Let's see. Alex. Alex, the wicked. Let me find someone who's phony and fake. Alex. Amen. Let me find someone whose word means nothing. Alex. So, praise God. Praise God. So you see, Alex, he needs to hear this good news. Comfort yourself. Comfort yourself. My beloved. My people. This is a good news for Israel. It's in their Bible, Old Testament. And yet, I dare say they haven't caught on yet. They haven't caught on. Because we're the light, and our 2-watt light isn't working. Isn't working. It's just like... Beep. It's like, yeah, it's like these Christmas lights now, that the LED thing, and they just kind of look, they're just light, but they do come on like they're a candle or something burning, you know. It's cute. My son has them in their windows, because they used to burn candles in the windows at night in New England, and so he's, they're little, like they're flickering and so on and so forth. I don't know how they work. But even though our light hasn't been bright, and even though Israel hasn't said, wow, those Christians are really nice, they're so merciful and kind, because our mercy makes them jealous. I don't think they're jealous of us. Even though we're merciful and kind and nice, I don't know why they see through us that we're not really Christians either. In other words, we don't really behave. In other words, we don't really worship God with all our heart and soul and strength, and I love our neighbor as ourselves. But every once in a while, you have some Christians self-righteously saying, I did good today. I did good. I am a really good Christian. Hey, God doesn't catch you. Remember, he had Adam and Eve in the garden? And remember, Eve had actually given Adam the apple to eat after she'd eaten. She handed him one, too. Hey, eat it. You'll be like me. And he said, you still look good to me. Yeah, you don't look dead to me. And so he ate. He didn't even think about it. He wasn't even deceived by the devil. He just listened to his wife. Hugo, don't ever listen to Roxy. She's not God. You have a God. You just don't. If she says, you know, hey, this and that, you know, don't pay attention to her. Just listen to God. Comfort yourself. Comfort yourself. Isn't that great? So she can do anything she wants. It doesn't matter. Because why? Because we're forgiving people, right? As God has forgiven us, let's forgive one another. That's what Christmas is. It's really about forgiveness. It's really about mercy. It's really about God does not count sin. Under the law, he says he's going to count it, but he made a trick. He made a trick. He actually wrote the law with our name on it, and then he actually told Jesus, go down and die for Raul's name. So that he doesn't have to die for his sins. You pay for them. And so Jesus fulfilled the law for Raul. That's amazing. Jesus did that. Why? I don't know. It's just the way it is. Oh, no. It's because of the promise he made to Abraham. He paid a promise. He's the only one in the universe that keeps his promise. And so... mercy triumphs over judgment. In other words, the gospel, good news, is better than the bad news, the law. Because the bad news puts all the pressure on you to behave. And everybody here, I don't care who you are or what you've done, everybody here is under pressure to behave. But not by God. God doesn't want you to behave. He actually hates it when you behave. He doesn't want you to be good. He doesn't want you to be nice. And fortunately, some of you have helped out. You're not nice and you're not good. But God doesn't want you to be, because he wants to have Jesus do it for you, and then Jesus do it in you, and then Jesus do it through you. That's what he's always wanted. Let me handle it. Oh, wow, thank you. That's all he's ever wanted. Thank you. That's all he's ever wanted. Thank you. Praise you. You're faithful. You're kind. You're just. You're merciful. You're wise. You're my all in all. That's all he's wanted. The wife doesn't have to do a thing. The husband's done it all. Jesus is your beloved. He chose you. You didn't choose him. You're the wife. You're passive. You're just not even doing anything to make the marriage work or anything like that. Even when you're self-righteous and think you're doing more, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care. He had Jesus do it, and that he decided, and Abraham saw his day 2,000 years before Jesus, Abraham. So 2,000 years before Jesus, that's just 2 days for God, by the way. Then he just remembered, oh, yeah, yeah, God, you're going to keep that promise. And then God called him the father of faith. He called Abraham the father of faith. Why? Because he had faith. Why? Because the offer was so good. Because Abraham was well aware of how slovenly he was. He was well aware of how idolatrous he was. He was well aware that, you know, when he went to Egypt, he lied. He lied. He said his sister was his sister, but it wasn't. She actually was his sister, but he didn't want to say my wife, because then the Pharaoh would put his eye on her, and then one of the princes or something would take her. And so she said he just put her in the harem where he would be safe, where she would be safe. He's not going to be safe in his harem. But Abraham didn't want to be killed. He was thinking of Sarah. He was thinking of Sarah. Just say, you're my sister. That way, because pharaohs can marry sisters like that, and then kind of like covenant. And then the Pharaoh, when he found out, when he saw Abraham kind of, you know, being loving toward his sister, he realized, uh-oh, that's his wife. And whoa, one of the princes might have done something. Whoa, because she was in my harem. And Abraham was making out like a bandit, because the Pharaoh was happy about that arrangement. And so, you see, Pharaoh didn't know that Abraham was faithful. But God called him the father of faith. Because he believed that even though he wasn't faithful, God could not be faithless. God would keep his promise to Abraham. I'll show you a land. And then remember when he gets to the land, look how faithful Abraham is. He gets to the land and it's a pile of rocks. And there's a famine in the land, and immediately he goes down to Egypt where it's nice. Why didn't he stay in the land that God promised him? I'll show you a land. Because he has no faith. He's not faithful. But he believed that even though he wasn't faithful, God would be faithful.
Right.
Wow, that's a one-sided deal. That's a one-sided unilateral, not bilateral. You do this, I'll do this. This is one-sided. And so God says these words, Naham U, Naham U. Tell my people, Am, my Am, not my Goyim, not my Gentiles. Tell my Jewish people, my Am, that her warfare is over. Her iniquity's been pardoned. Wow. This is amazing. I like the picture I have, and I believe I'm the best one to tell it. Why? Because I'm the only one that I know of that makes God gooder than he appears. I believe God is, really, on your side. If God be for you, And I got this all out of the Bible, which you don't read. You don't read the Bible like I'm reading it. Of course, it's my job. I wouldn't get paid. But I'm paid to read the Bible and then tell you what it's saying. So I'm interpreting. I'm making it good. I'm making it really good because that's what I'm reading. I believe that God is for everybody in the world. Not just because the Jews were actually supposed to be the light to the Gentiles. And they were one water. We were two waters, but they were one water. And the pagans never did say, hey, let's be Jewish. The pagans never bought into that. Hey, these Jewish people have made a big contribution to civilization. Hey, let's join their religion. Let's give up Baal. They're worshiping Baal now. They're still worshiping Baal. They haven't changed a bit. They're filthy. It's a filthy Baal religion. But the Jewish who had a noble one, you know, a nicer one, but they failed to do it. And now we have an even nicer one. We have nicer. And yet our light isn't bright enough either. So the world can't see through our good works. You know why? Because we're doing them. What God wants is you don't do good works, just confess your sin. Just praise God. Just thank God. And bless your enemies. Wow. That's what I'm doing today, is I'm blessing Israel. Why? Because her warfare toward God is ended. It's completed. It's finished. It's over. Hey, comfort yourselves, my people. That's the word to Israel. So I can't be angry at any Israeli because they failed to keep the law. I can't be angry at any Christian who doesn't attend. This person right here. I can't be angry at this person. You know, hey, cough up. You know, come through. And I have this good news, and it's just going to go to waste. And, you know, good thing we make tapes. Because Peggy listens to them at home. Peggy listened to them over and over and over and over again. And it hadn't done her a lick of good yet. But she does listen to them. And if you call her on the phone, whatever the tape said, she'll put that on you. Oh, no, you have it wrong. My husband teaches blah, blah, blah. And so Peggy is amazing. I'm amazed. And then when I ask her, well, Peggy, are you applying that? She self-righteously say, well, I did my best. Do you see God's not mad at anybody? Amen. Isn't that amazing? How he created this whole creation that hates him. War, they're enmity. There's an enmity there. And all peoples of the world hate each other. They not only hate God, they hate each other. And you know what? If you were all alone, you would hate yourself. You know what? You're a hater. I'm just pointing something out. We're a contradiction in terms. We have a noble view, like I do. We have a noble view of how awesome we are. But actually, we're utter failures. Right. Stay that way. Stay a failure. Let God love you as a failure. Does that make sense? So you're not disciplined. So you don't keep his law. So you don't always remember. Sometimes we just sin against God and our neighbor and ourselves and whoever. It's okay. Comfort yourselves, my people. Whether it's through Jesus or Moses or whatever. Comfort yourselves. Wow. And if you would live that message, that God loves sinners, even wicked or self-righteous. It doesn't matter which version you take. He loves you with a with an undying love. You personally. Now, is there anyone here today that knows that truth? That God loves me no matter what? Because it's powerful. It's powerful. Because you're not a good person. I'm not. You have a bad leader, and you are a bad people with a bad leader. And I'm not doing good to help anybody get unbad. As a matter of fact, stay that way. Just let Jesus do it. Let Jesus teach this thing. I can't teach it. Let Jesus teach it, and then let him do it. And then let him perfect you. He promised. He promised to Abraham that. Okay. So, speak tenderly. And now I like this one. For she hath, she's speaking of Jerusalem, she hath received the double for her sins. For she hath received the double for her sins. You know what the double is? Watch. Okay, these are all your sins at the top of this page. Now I'm going to fold this over like that. And I'm going to write on here, paid in full. So in other words, the sins is the doubled over that's on your cell. Because you have to pay for your sins, and you have to stay in a week or 2 years or 50 years or a lifetime or whatever. But somebody came along and paid your debt for you, and now you don't owe anything. You're free. You're free to get up and open your present and enjoy yourself. Even though you didn't live the thing, even though you didn't do anything to deserve it, even so, it doesn't matter. God, on his own, hath forgiven you. He showed his mercy because of the promise he made to Abraham. Because of that promise, he loves Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Satanists, Christians, lukewarm Christians, phonies, liars, hypocrites. Paid in full. And when Jesus was on the cross, he shouted out these words, "Tetelestai," Greek. But what's it say? Paid in full. In other words, when he died, his last word on before he expired was "Tetelestai." It's paid in full. Roxy's in. Hugo's in. Willis is in.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Sam, you're in. Jerry, your sins are forgiven. Even though there be many, they're all forgiven. Paid in full. You made it. This is the double. You fold the paper over. It's doubled. It's doubled. This beat, this beat. So the paid the double, and a lot of people read it, paid double. No, it doesn't say double. It says the double. Someone has folded the paper over on your cell, and it said, paid in full, I can walk out anytime. It's unlocked. The cell gate, and some people are still sitting in the prison, even though it says paid in full. In other words, you can go now. You can go now. Well, I know, I'll stay here. I like my 4x8 room. How many know those cells can be small? Because they don't want you to get a hold of something and whatever. But now you're free. Forever. Forever and ever. For all eternity. You're free, Jerry. You are no longer seen by God as a sinner. You're seen as a saint. Saint Jerry. Everybody, can you see Saint Jerry? Why? Because of what he did? No. Because of what God did through Christ to reconcile the world to himself. He paid your debt. Whatever you owed him, it's not owed anymore. Your iniquity's been pardoned. I like this message. Do you see how powerful this is? Now, listen to the rest of this. I'm only going to read a few verses. The voice of him, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Do you know what that is? John the Baptist. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's what John the Baptist started out his thing. Repent. Change your mind. But you didn't. You thought he meant don't sin anymore. No, what he meant was I've redefined sin. Sin now is not sinning against God. It's not sinning against the Ten Commandments. It's your sin is you don't know that God loves you unconditionally without changing. Before you change, before you do anything. The only thing I want from you is to work the works of God. Believe that God has paid the double. That God has satisfied himself. That God has reconciled the world to himself. I wish all of Dallas were listening to this. Amen. It's too powerful. But actually, many would hate it. Many Christians would hate it. Hey, Pastor, you're teaching in such a way that people, like, you don't want them to behave. Yes, I don't want them to behave. Why? Because God has already behaved for you. He lived your life for you before the foundation of the world, and so you're perfect. And so when you reach judgment day, when Jesus comes back and you reach judgment day, and he says to you as the court, the judge sitting at the bench, how do you plead? You say, perfect. I was perfect. I'm innocent of all crime. And then he picks out his book and he has a big, you know, this many pages just on your sins on Thursday. You know, he said, well, you know, da 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 da. And he said, so how do you plead? Did you sin or not? No, I didn't. What? If you look in the other set of books, the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll see I'm in there. I'm faith. I'm faith person. I didn't do any works. I deserve hell. But I'm not going to go there because I'm innocent. Because Jesus paid for all my sins. And he's my lawyer. And that's your son. And I'm going to be married to him in a few minutes when you're done judging everybody else because I'm innocent. Amen. And he'll say, go to my right hand. Go here. I'll see you in the chambers. And so after the court session is over, everyone else will get what they're due, and we will get what Jesus is due. You will reap what Jesus sowed. That's amazing.
Amen.
I like that better than me paying, you know, getting a wage for the things I sowed. You can't get a wage for things you sowed. Jesus already got the wage for that. Death. Sin, the wages of sin is
death.
That's the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. But Jesus died for you. So you did die, but not you. This is the Jesus for you. That's a new you. You're a new creation. Now, do you see yourself, Alex, as a new creation?
Absolutely.
Do you see your behavior lining up?
No.
You see that? That's cheap. That is a cheap Christian. He's making Jesus do all the work, and he doesn't do a lick of good, and he's just taking advantage of Jesus. Do you see that Jesus is pleased with that? He loves Alex for that reason, is that even though he's a scoundrel, even though he's a liar, even though he's, you know, worthless. Jesus likes him. That's it. Anyone that takes that offer is like marrying above yourself. Marrying above yourself. I know I married above myself because Peggy didn't deserve me. She deserved someone better. But she had to, you know, she's foolish. She accepted. I tricked her into it. I actually tricked him. I tricked her. I gave her a line. She said, "Do you take this woman for your wife?" And so on. "Yes, I do," and so on and so forth. Because that's what you're supposed to say, so I said it. Otherwise, that she wouldn't marry me. So I had to say the words they said me to say. So I said them, and she accepted it. And now I hold her to it. "Peg, you made a big mistake, because I didn't intend at all to be for you. I intended to be totally for me in this marriage." And for 25 years into the marriage, I still was taking advantage of her self-righteous. She always had to behave. So she would come to me with the cake, I've told you this, and it'd have a big piece and a small piece. And then she would, as a Christian, she had to turn the big piece toward me and say, "Would you like a piece of cake?" "Sure." "Peg, do you see this piece of cake? It's bigger than this little one. Do you want the big one or the little one?" And because she was a Christian and didn't want to go to hell, she said, "No, you take whatever you want." She didn't say, "You take the little one," because that's what she wanted. "You take the little one, I'll eat the big one." But I knew what she was doing, and so I tricked her. I just grabbed the big one, and I ate it. And I said, "Thank you. That is wonderful. You wanted me to have the best." And she had a long face, and she said, "Well, it was okay." But she was stuffing her real desire. So she had to go to hell because she was a liar.
Does she still do that?
But I forgave her. Because I'm a Christian. No, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a Christian at all. I just took advantage of her foolishness to think she was good. She always thought she was good, Roxy. But she wasn't good. She just stuffed it. She just buried it. She was actually ticked off. And every once in a while, she'd throw a piece of toast at me or something and say, What did I do?" "Nothing." that was accurate. And so she just wanted to throw it because she finally exploded and gave me what I deserved. I said, "Peg, this toast is burned." "Yes. Eat it." "That's not a Christian," I said, because I was a hypocrite. I played that game because she was a hypocrite. The hypocrite deserves a hypocrite. "Jerry, you wouldn't do that, but I did that." I did that, and I laughed. I thought that was funny. So, but now I've improved. Now I'm improved. Ever since Margaret came into the world, I've changed. Amen. No, I really haven't changed. I'm basically the same, but I've learned what to say and what to do and so on and so forth. And I tell you, this thing that's affected me, this thing of Jesus loves me no matter what, it affected me. I can't believe a God like that. I can't believe God would write all those laws down for me to disobey, and then he would reward me with wanting to marry me. Amazing.
Amazing grace.
Do you see that? The double. It doubled over. Once he says something, it's over. I doubled it over. I paid the double. It said, "She hath received of the Lord's hand." The Lord handed her the double. In other words, he paid. I owed, he paid. I owed, he paid. I didn't do what I was supposed to do to get the reward. So I didn't earn it. I did wrong, and yet Jesus still loved me. It's amazing. Okay, so let's tell her all these things. And it says, "This guy in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." What's God going to do? "Every valley," a depressed Christian or somebody humbled. "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain," they're proud and tall, "and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight." In other words, God takes total responsibility for his created world. He pays for Hindus and Buddhists and everybody. If you're a proud person, he'll pull you down. If you're a humble person, he'll lift you up so that everybody stands equal in the face of God. And Jesus has paid for everybody. That's amazing. One price for all sinners. Did you know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We're all equal. Judah, you have sinned. I know this. But as God hath forgiven me, I forgive you. You're forgiven for it.
And God's forgiven.
And God has forgiven you. Yeah, God has forgiven you. I'm just telling you. Don't worry about it. But don't keep it up. No, do you know that God doesn't say that? Because God knows everything. I believe you will keep it up. I believe you'll still do wrong. Even if you don't do it outwardly, you'll think about it inwardly. Am I right? Yeah. Praise God. You know what? We have a funny God. He's strange. I would give up on me. He never gave up on me. Amen? Never gave up on me. He never said, you're hopeless. He always said, I love you. I love you so much. That's amazing. It's powerful. Can you believe your daughter still loves you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's God's daughter and she just loves everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you're taking advantage of her. You're taking advantage of her.
Even when we fight, she loves me.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's grace. That's mercy. That's God. You don't deserve it, you know. But she loves you anyway. Praise God. Did you know, let everybody go. Let everybody go. Just pay the double for them. Let them go. Show them mercy. Mercy paid the double. Grace paid the double. Remember when he gave the law, it's a little secret thing. This is the secret. When he gave the law, immediately Moses said to the people of Israel, by the way, I know that you are a stubborn and stiff-necked people. And I know you will sin against everything God has said in this law, and you will be chastened by God. But I want you to know this. God at any time has kept to himself, reserved to himself, a royal prerogative right to forgive a sinner who repents. This is what the word nachamu means. Repent. Change your mind. Don't think that you know God. You don't know what good and evil is. Good is when God forgives you. That's good. And evil is what you did, but God traded it for his good. And Jesus then paid the price for you. Your warfare is under. Your sins are forgiven. Your iniquity has been pardoned. There's nothing between you and God except love. Take it. Enjoy it. Don't enjoy it in heaven. Enjoy it, Karen, today. Right now. Enjoy it. Did you know that everybody in your life is out to bless you even though they're not?
Amen.
You're not going to see it, but forgive them anyway. Pray for them anyway. Bless them anyway. Why? As a work? No. Because I know that is not from your soul. That would be from your heart because you believe these words. So don't work it. Don't work at it. Don't try anything. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That's what happened at Jesus' birth. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. A voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, The flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. Wow. Gee, God obligated himself when he made that promise, and you can't force him to keep his promise. But he will keep his promise. Everybody's beloved of God. Now, we're the people on earth that could share this. So I hope you'll share it.
Amen.
Why? Because this is what Christmas is all about.
Amen.
Mercy. Sam.
I heard it said the other day, we're in sales, God's in management, the Holy Spirit and Jesus are in execution.
It's powerful. Yep, simple.
But that's what we are. We're in sales. We tell people the good news.
Right.
You can't lead, the Holy Spirit leads them to Christ. You
correct.
You just got to tell them what the price is.
Amen. Yeah, and don't get mad at people if they don't receive it, even though it's for their good, even though it's good news. Don't. God didn't do that to you. Don't do that to them. Okay, you can do it. It's still, he loves you anyway. But it'll actually be for your happiness. Even though you're, you know, people, you do judge them, and you're mad at them, let them go. Open the prison, the door of the cell. Let them go. And if they sit in there, leave them. You can't force people to get out and be free. Just love them. Just like God loves you, no matter what. Jack.
I have a question. I'm blessed. I never thought of that word double like that before.
Wow.
And because all the Bibles don't say that.
Right.
They don't say the double.
Right. They don't.
You look it up in the concordance and it doesn't say the double.
Right.
So was that a known action procedure?
By me and probably a dozen other people. In other words, it is not well known. But I read the Hebrew. It's got the definite article, the double. It does not have just double. The Lord has paid double. You owed 10 cents, he paid 20. It doesn't say that. The double. The fold, and if you read it in the Hebrew, it actually means the folding over. It doesn't say anything about double. It's double because you folded the cloth over and sewed it. Or you fold the paper over on the jail cell. And that written on the outside of the cell is everything he owed now has been paid. He's free. He's pardoned. The warfare is over. There's no more enmity between that person and society or God or whatever. Wow. Everybody's free. This is the greatest word of freedom, liberty, that the world will ever know. Is that God is not mad. He's not angry. He never has been, never will be.
Even in the scriptures where it seems like he's mad, like say in Romans,
yes, right,
where he said he gave them over to a debased mind,
right,
that was actually mercy on his part because he was showing them the gods that they were actually worshiping. They were worshiping themselves. They were worshiping,
right,
you know, all of these different idols, and it was manifest into the world so that you could plainly see that this is not right. How could a loving God let all this stuff happen? But it happens because you're following the wrong gods, and he's trying to reveal that to you.
Right.
Which I thought was merciful because we received that in the car today.
Yeah. It's good. It's powerful. It's powerful.
It is.
All right. God is good. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Pastor,
next week I'll be here.
We have a beloved brother who will turn 50 years old on the 23rd.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
No. 50?
50.
Wow.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Wayne. Happy birthday to you. Amen.
That's glad God made you.
We're glad God made Andrew. We're glad God made you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right.